Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're taking one single declarative statement from a document and basically forcing it to give up all of its secrets.
Exactly. We're dissecting the blueprint for the modern local economy.
Our whole mission today is built around an observation from the document, bridging consumers and professionals through technology. And it's not some long, dense report.
No, not at all. It's a piece of analysis so condensed, it almost reads like a law of physics for the economy. Our job is to break that law down.
And that's really the perfect challenge for a deep dive, because the source itself is so deceptively simple. It gives us the conclusion, but not the evidence.
Right, which is what we have to reconstruct. We're looking for that profound shift, that, you know, that aha moment that's hiding inside this one observation.
Okay, let's just cut right to it. Here's the sentence that's going to define our entire conversation today. Technology bridges gaps between consumers and local professionals.
That's it. So simple. So simple, but it carries so much weight. Let's unpack this. I mean, that short statement defines a relationship, it identifies the mechanism, and it pinpoints the problem being solved.
Across billions of transactions, too. It's basically an operating manual for the entire service economy.
So let's start with the first word, the primary actor here, technology.
Yes, and the phrasing there is so crucial. It positions technology not as, you know, a convenience or a helper.
Not an add-on.
Not at all. It's the essential mechanism. It's the required infrastructure. The source is saying that if you want to connect these two groups today, technology isn't optional. It's mandatory.
It's the platform layer that does everything. Identity verification, secure payments, all of it.
Exactly. Without that architecture,
yeah.
The algorithms, the APIs, the GPS, the market just goes back to what it was.
Fragmented. Inefficient. Yeah. It's like the difference between trying to, I don't know, paddle across a raging river versus just driving over a six-lane bridge.
And that analogy, the bridge, it's perfect because it focuses on the core verb in the sentence, bridges.
And that immediately forces you to ask, well, what was there before? It tells us a serious gap, a really big structural deficit must have existed before the technology showed up.
So what did that gap actually look like? I mean, historically, if you needed a plumber or an electrician, what did you do?
You go to the Yellow Pages, right? Or you'd rely on word of mouth.
You're just dialing numbers, hoping someone picks up maybe days later.
Precisely. The old way was all high friction and low information. So the source isn't just suggesting technology helps the process.
No, it's saying it's fundamentally important.
It's arguing that technology resolves interactions that just struggled to happen before. And that struggle was wasted time, it was uncertainty, and, you know, often higher costs because one person had all the information.
So the bridge is built specifically to solve inefficiency. If the system had worked well before, you wouldn't need a bridge. That's a pretty powerful indictment of how local service markets used to work.
Oh, absolutely. Think of technology as the great standardizer. Local service is inherently non-standard.
Every contractor has their own way of doing things.
Their own schedule, their own billing, their own little trust network. The tech provides this uniform interface where supply and demand can finally meet efficiently. For the first time, really.
Okay, so we've got the mechanism technology and the action bridging the gap. Let's look at the parties involved now. This brings us to the second part of our analysis.
Right.
Consumers and local professionals.
Right.
Why are these two groups singled out? Why not just businesses and customers?
Well, the significance is all about geography. It lies in the fact that this is a physically constrained transaction.
You mean it has to happen in a specific place?
Exactly. We're not talking about Amazon shipping a standardized product across the country. We're talking about services that need physical proximity, a haircut, a home repair.
A tutoring session. The professional has to come to you or you have to go to them.
Yes. And that distinction, the local professional, that's the key, isn't it?
It is, because it points to how fragmented this kind of labor is.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't huge brand name corporations. They're often independent contractors, micro businesses.
Or just small teams working in a really tight geographical area. And that's what made this market so hard to digitize for so long. The supply side is atomized.
Totally scattered.
They all have different licenses, different schedules. They don't have fancy CRM systems. So technology becomes essential for connecting people seeking services directly with these very specific geolocated providers. It overcomes that nightmare of managing thousands of individual schedules and skills.
And this is where it gets really, really interesting for me. Because the old methods, like word of mouth or a flyer on a bulletin board, that's all hyper-local, low bandwidth information.
Very low bandwidth.
The technology, these platforms, they aggregate all that fragmented supply into a high bandwidth catalog that you, the consumer, can instantly search and filter.
The gain in efficiency is just staggering. For the consumer, you can suddenly see 50 highly rated electricians in your zip code instead of, what, asking three neighbors for a name?
And for the professional.
For the local pro, they get instant access to a pool of demand they could never, ever afford to market to on their own.
So the statement is really positioning this direct, efficient connection as the number one result of tech in this sector. It's almost saying that if the technology didn't solve this specific matching problem, its economic value would be, well, minimal.
I think it's even stronger. It implies it's a necessary function. If a platform isn't solving that coordination problem for local, non-standard services, it's probably just adding complexity. The ones that succeed are the ones whose whole value is built on solving that trust and coordination deficit.
Okay, so let's turn to the heart of the problem being solved. This brings us to the most powerful, if abstract, word in the statement: gaps. Since technology bridges gaps, we have to understand what they are. What are the most critical gaps that this technology is closing?
I'd say they fall into three, maybe four main categories. They all represent friction. You have the gap of trust, the gap of information, and the gap of availability. Historically, these were just massive roadblocks.
Let's start with trust. Before these platforms, trust was built slowly, painfully. You got a recommendation from a friend, or you just took a huge risk on someone you found in the phone book.
A total leap of faith.
How does technology bridge that gap?
It systematizes trust. It makes social capital instantly transferable. By creating standardized ratings and reviews, technology gets rid of the need for all that slow, personal vetting.
So if a professional has 500 reviews and a 4.8-star average,
the consumer gets high-confidence trust in minutes. And crucially, the technology forces transparency. A bad review today is immediately visible to everyone, which completely changes the incentive for providing good service compared to the old model.
Right, where a bad job just damaged a single one-on-one relationship.
Exactly.
I also remember the days of just waiting forever for a quote or calling five different companies just to find out if they were even taking new clients. That leads us right to the gap of availability.
That was pure waste, total frustration. The old system was all serial communication. You call, you wait for a call back, you schedule an estimate, you wait for the estimate, then you schedule the actual work.
A process that could take a week.
Or more. Technology just obliterates that serial friction with real-time data. APIs let platforms show a professional's actual real-time availability. You can often book immediately and pay in a standardized way. It compresses a five-day process into 5 minutes.
The efficiency gained right there, that's what turbocharges the local economy. It's not just about convenience, it's about freeing up everyone's time for more productive things.
It is. And there's a fourth gap, one that's often overlooked, the gap of pricing opacity.
Meaning you had no idea what something should cost.
None. Before these platforms, a professional set their price based on, you know, what they thought you would pay or what they heard the local competition was charging. The consumer had no way to comparison shop without making endless phone calls.
Right. The pricing was decentralized and felt.
Yeah.
Now arbitrary sometimes.
But by aggregating all the supply in one place, technology introduces mandatory competitive transparency. You, the consumer, can instantly see comparable pricing for standardized services.
It levels the playing field.
It does. It drives down those excess profit margins that came from hoarding information, and it encourages professionals to compete on service quality and reputation, not on pricing games.
Which makes the technology not just a connector, but also a regulator, a mechanism for enforcing quality and pricing standards in a market that never had them before.
That's a perfect way to put it. The source material is essentially describing how software has taken the chaos and fragmentation of the local service market and imposed a rigid, efficient order on top of it.
So the modern local marketplace is defined by the tools used to kill those old inefficiencies.
In trust, time, and pricing. Absolutely.
Okay, so that leads us to the big synthesis question. What does all this actually mean? Yep. The whole picture here seems to be about defining a new, digitized, defrictionalized local economy.
It's a complete restructuring of how local demand meets local supply. And, you know, that creates winners and losers.
What it means is that the fundamental barriers to entry for both sides have been just drastically lowered. For consumers, getting high-quality service is easier than ever.
And for professionals, building a local business no longer requires a huge marketing budget or years spent building relationships. It just requires participation on that technological bridge.
A high standard of service, because now you're transparent.
Right, you can't hide.
So the key takeaway from our source: technology bridges gaps between consumers and local professionals. It's about the profound and really necessary role of technology as that bridge. It's confirming that these deep-seated gaps are actively being closed by digital tools.
And that closure redefines the entire relationship. The expectation of an instant connection, of price transparency, of verifiable trust, that's the new normal. And it's a normal that's dictated entirely by the technology.
So if you're operating a local business, you're playing by these new rules, whether you're on a specific platform or just competing against it.
You have no choice. And if you think about the bigger picture, you realize that every time you seek out a local service today, you know, that moment you open an app to book a handyman or find a consultant,
you're walking across that bridge.
You are actively engaging with this foundational structure. It's not some peripheral thing anymore. This bridge is central to your daily economic life.
Which means the cost of not being on the bridge has gone up dramatically.
It's escalated, yeah.
Well, thank you for helping us explore this. We took one simple sentence, really, and found an entire economic architecture hidden inside.
Always a pleasure. It's amazing what you can find in these high-density statements.
So before we go, you always leave us with a final thought.
I do. A provocative thought for you to mull over. If technology is the definitive bridge connecting consumers and local professionals, what happens to the professional or even the consumer who chooses not to cross it? This raises a really important question about participation, access, and even viability in the modern service economy. Especially when you consider that the gap is now defined by the very technology that fills it.